Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to spend some time in the gospel lesson in which there is a controversy that arises. Jesus is encouraging those who had come to faith in him. But it's a mixed crowd. And so there were many people in the holy city who had believed in Jesus and were coming to him. But there were also the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were always, as ever, in dead opposition to Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They wanted him put to death. And they would not listen to him. They would not hear him. And so our gospel lesson today begins right in the middle of this controversy. And we hear that Jesus says to them, "Which of you is able to convict me of sin?" All right? Which is a very bold statement. I don't know if I could ever state that, right? Which of you is able to convict me of sin? But Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he can boldly stand forth in the face of his enemies and he can say, "Which one of you is able to convict me of sin?" Thank God that we have a holy, perfect, sinless Savior, because we are in sin and we need someone who can redeem us from that sinfulness. So he says, "Which of you can do this? Convict me of sin. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" All right, so Jesus asks a question that he himself is about to answer. All right, so he asks the question, "If I say the truth, You can't point to one place where what I say is contrary to the scriptures. If I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Here's the answer in verse 47. "He that is of God heareth God's words." And he says, "Ye therefore," speaking to his enemies, "ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So flat out, Jesus says, the reason why you cannot hear me, you cannot understand me, you cannot even consider my teachings without prejudice, is because you are not of God. Despite your pretense to be the children of God, despite the fact that you claim that God is your Father, you do not act like people who believe that God is your Father. Because if God were your Father, you would love me, because I came forth from God and am come into the world. So therefore, if you were God's children, you would love me. And you would accept me, you would receive my teaching. But the fact that you do not proves that you are not of God. Right? And this is something that holds true throughout the ages. There are people who think that just because they are members of a certain church, or just because they have done certain good works in their own eyes, or just because they have donated to the upkeep of a place of worship, that just because of these things, they are automatically numbered among the faithful and the children of God. And very often, these same people are utterly indifferent to Jesus and his word. You go more than 5 minutes into a sermon and people are yawning. Why is that? Because everything is so boring, or because there's a spiritual problem in the life of those who are bored? By the way, boredom means that there's something wrong with the person who is bored. There's nothing in and of itself that is boring. What is boring is a person's mind that cannot attend to good things that are being said. So here we have people who they claim to be Christians. They claim to be children of God, but they have no true faith whatsoever. Lord, keep us from such a thing, that he that is of God hears the God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. We want to be of God. We want to be among those who hear God's word. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, weren't we right to say that you're a Samaritan and have a devil? All right, so they respond when Jesus flat out tells them that they are not of God. Instead of being shocked, instead of being suddenly remorseful at this insight, remember, Jesus is God. His word is God's word. All right, there is no distinction between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father, other than their personhood. But Jesus is God. His words are God. Therefore, you cannot claim to love God if you do not love Jesus. God has revealed himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. To say that you can still have God while at the same time rejecting Jesus is an utter fallibility. And so here they say, we were right when we called you a Samaritan and that you have a devil. Anybody who would think that we are not the children of God has to be demon possessed. That's what they're saying to him. And anyone who thinks that we should accept your words, which we believe are false, as God's word, must be a heathen Samaritan. So they call Jesus names. Notice how Jesus responds. He doesn't rebuff them for calling him names. He simply dismisses them. All right? He says, I have not a devil. That's all he says. I have not a devil. Right? He says, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. All right? I'm honoring my Father with my teachings. I am honoring my Father with my miracles. I am honoring my Father by doing the work that he has sent me to do. All of these things I am doing, and I am doing them well and perfectly for the salvation of the world. All right? I am honoring my Father, and you are dishonoring me, which means that you are dishonoring my Father who has sent me, and dishonoring the works of God that he gave me to do, which are his works that he sent me into the world to perform. You see? So once you want to take Jesus and God the Father and split them apart from each other and have one without the other, you have drastically fallen away from your status as a child of God. There are many Christians who want to make Jesus a kind of an optional thing because the pressure from the unbelieving, corrupt, sinful world that we live in, the pressure is, don't be specific about God and who he is and what he does and gives. what he says is good, what he says is, what he does not say is bad. Don't be specific about that stuff. Be vague and general. The whole modern evangelical movement, the liberal progressive Christianity movement, is all about acting like Christians but keeping it vague. Jesus was not vague. Jesus was clear, and he wants us to be clear, not only in what we hear, but in what we believe, teach, and confess. We are to hear and confess the truth of God, even when the world growls under its breath at us and calls us names, all right? I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. So how can you say that you are children of God when you dishonor the Father who sent me while I am honoring him? He says, I'm not looking for my own glory. I'm not seeking to build myself up or bolster my own reputation in your eyes. He says, but there is someone who does seek that, and he judges. All right? So the Father, he is seeking the glory of the Son. All right? The Father hates it when so-called Christians want to get vague and generic about their religion. All right? The Father hates that because the Father did a specific thing. He sent his only begotten Son into the world to be the one and only Redeemer. There is none other name given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. All right? So God the Father seeks the glory of Jesus. When we refuse to glorify Jesus, we are working against God the Father. All right? He seeks my glory, and he judges those who besmirch it. All right? So there's that. And then, after saying these things as a rebuke to these unbelievers, he then says to the crowd in general, remember, he's talking to a crowd of people who believe in him, but among that crowd are these grumpy little adversaries. And so Jesus says something to the crowd to encourage them, and then he hears the rah, 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 rah from the little minority of the grumblers, and he has to deal with them. And that's the back and forth of this whole chapter. So Jesus says generally to everyone there, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, and that's your point, that Jesus is going to say something now that's particularly important. Whenever he verily, verilies it, that means what he is about to say, if you haven't been listening all along, listen up now because this is key. That's what he means by verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my words, he shall never see death. What does Jesus mean by that? He's saying that if you believe in me and you treasure my word, you hide my word in your heart, you will never experience eternal death and damnation. All right? Jesus came into the world. He was given by the Father that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To perish means to die and go to hell, right? To have everlasting life is to escape death, all right? He's not talking about temporal death here. He's talking about spiritual death, which is overtaken by eternal death or eternal damnation. And Jesus says, whoever keeps my words, they will never experience eternal damnation. In fact, they will have life everlasting. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Now we know that you're crazy. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Ha! See, the little thing there that's given away here, by the way they quote him, they're thinking of physical death, right? If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death, they're thinking of actual physical death. Jesus is talking about eternal life. He's talking about spiritual life and eternal salvation. For the Christian, when you die, you do not perish. When you die, you fall asleep in the Lord. And being asleep in the Lord, you die in the grace of God unto your awakening unto everlasting life. But they think that Jesus is claiming that if you keep his words, you will never physically die. All right? That's what they misinterpret him as saying. And they say, Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Who are you claiming to be? All right? Now, Jesus is moving this conversation to this. He's moving it toward a climax here. All right? And so now they say, Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus says, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. My Father honors me. How does the Father honor Jesus? By the miracles that he gave him to do, by the scriptures of the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled, and by the words that Jesus was given to teach and to preach. In those three things, God the Father was glorifying Jesus and honoring Jesus. So when you're hearing the fulfilled prophecy, when you are hearing the preaching of Jesus, and when you are reading about the miracles of Jesus, that is God honoring his Son, and that is to all be received in faith. Right? You say that he's your God, yet ye have not known him. You don't know him. You say he's your God, but you don't even know him. And you show this by your attitude towards me. That's what he's saying to them. He says, But I know him. I know him. And if I should say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. When you people, he's saying to these unbelieving Pharisees and scribes, he's saying, when you people claim to be children of God, you're lying. Right? You're like your father, the devil, he says. Your father, the devil. He is a liar from the beginning. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own. He is a liar and he is the father of it. Right? And Jesus said, if I were to deny knowing my father, then I would be a liar like you. But I know him and I keep his saying. Now listen to this. Here he ratchets it up again. Right? He ratchets it up by telling them they weren't of God. Then he ratchets it up again by offering eternal life through faith in him. You believe in me and my words, you have eternal life. Now he ratchets it up again. He says, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the book of Genesis chapter 22. Do you remember the story of when God was testing Abraham and he told him to sacrifice his only son Isaac, whom you love, take him to the land of Moriah, and sacrifice him on a mountain that I will show you, all right? And Abraham obeys God's voice and begins to do exactly that. Now, when you read the story, you may not pick up on the fact that Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, his son, is the exact spot where the temple was later built in Jerusalem. And it is the Mount Zion that the scriptures talk about, where our Lord Jesus was crucified. All right? So there's a direct connection between the sacrifice of Isaac, whom his father loved, his only son, whom his father loved. Do you see the connection between God the Father and his son Jesus Christ, and Abraham and Isaac, his only son, whom you love? All right? And then when he is about to do the deed, the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Holy Trinity, says, "Stop! Now I know that you fear God." And Abraham looks up, and what does he see? A ram caught by his horns in a thicket. And Abraham takes the ram and offers it as a sacrifice instead of his son. And then the Bible says that Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, right? Which means the Lord will see. The Lord will see. And people to this day, the Bible tells us here, call it on the mount of the Lord, it will be seen. What will be seen? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So here, in the aftermath of this tragic test, Abraham saw the day of Christ prophetically in the future. He saw it and he rejoiced in it. All right? That's what's being referred to here. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, that's another up the ante here. But that's not all. And then it says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" You're not 50 years old. You've seen Abraham, they said, scoffing at him. Now Jesus pulls out the big gun. All right? Here is the big gun. All right? And this is for all those YouTube goofballs who say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Right? You gotta watch out what you listen to on YouTube. It says, "Verily, there's that again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, you're all familiar with the book of Exodus. I just know it. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, Moses asks God, "You're sending me to the children of Israel. They're going to say, God sent you to us? What's his name?" So Moses says, "So you better tell me what your name is, so that when they ask me, I have something intelligent to say." Moses, the most reluctant deliverer in history. "Please send somebody else." Anyway, so God answers him and says, God said to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." So therefore, in our gospel text for today, Jesus is calling himself God Almighty. He's calling himself Jehovah. He is calling himself the Lord God. You can't miss this, all right? It is Old Testament prophecy, New Testament fulfillment. Jesus calls himself God. And if there's still any doubt about this, notice the reaction of the crowd. It says, then they took up stones to throw at him. What were they doing? They were going to stone him to death right there in the temple. All right? They were going to grab stones and kill him right there in the temple. They knew exactly what he was saying, and they considered it blasphemy because they did not believe in him. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, and going through the midst, he passed by. So there you have this wonderful, encouraging story about the Father sending his Son into the world to be the express image of his glory for our eternal redemption. To have Jesus is to have God, and to have God is to have Jesus. And through faith in Christ, we who hear his word and keep it, we have the utter promise that we shall never see death, meaning that we have life everlasting in Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.